All right, thank you so much. Father, we just thank you and we bless your name. We give you praise for the privilege of being able to share with your children over in Kenya. This is the third day of the, feast, but it's the third day of the annual leadership training. And so we are excited about what you're doing in Kenya. And we want to bless your name. So we thank you for this opportunity, Master. We'll begin by pointing out that we are here in response to the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That's why we are here. And what is that good news again? Well, it is the good news of the coming kingdom of God that is going to be on planet Earth. It is necessary that we understand it, because many have an understanding where we're going away, we're going off, leaving the Earth to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. So we want to make sure we make that distinction and help clarify any misunderstanding. It is the same thing that we make reference to when we say the gospel of the kingdom or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, there is a better way coming. Now, all the advances of the present time, I'm talking about the world now, cannot be compared to the coming kingdom of God. It is nothing compared to it. And to begin with, as Brother Stephen was pointing out a little before you folks joined us, there will be true peace. And yes, it's going to be universal worldwide. So that's a major distinction in addition to the provision that we're going to have in abundance and so on. Now, our leaders have many plans. We'll not debate that. They are planning. And some are saying that this is Africa's time to rise. Among some of the advocates is Professor Lumumba. He is the director of the Kenya Anti-Corruption Commission, and he was really a professor at Nairobi University. And you can listen to him. He's online. He's giving out a lot of information, and not everything he says is far off, but there is something that is missing. As I said, what they're advocating is not all wrong, but they have no power to implement it because it is not founded in Christ. So in this lesson, we will explore a different vision. It is God's vision for Africa, or you might say, Maono ya Mungu kwa Africa. I hope my Swahili is sufficient. But, you know, Mayano ya Mungu kwa Africa. And that's the point, is that there is a vision. And by the way, it's the same vision for all nations. And, you know, we could have a taste of it now if the folks would embrace it. But we're going to drill down to a few concepts that we can embrace during this time, that God can allow us to install this side of the kingdom. The enemy of our soul, he's not going to let us, you know, have free range to do what we want. Therefore, you will have that challenge where we have to wait until the kingdom is actually established. But my point is, that's the direction we're going. So let's take a closer look. To begin with, we need to recognize that the work that you and I are involved with, this leadership meeting, the preaching of the good news we have over there in going on in Kenya, here, same as it is in America or in the Caribbean, wherever in Europe, same thing. This work is the work of God. And I always like for us to cement our reasoning in the foundation of the scripture. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 gives us reference here. It says, being confident. So you and I are confident. Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you confident? Yes, we are. We're confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it is God who started this. And as we were hearing in the message yesterday and some of it on Monday also, you know, we are leaders and we are supposed to embrace the philosophy that we're not the only ones. God is in total control, as we're hearing. He is the true King. And so we are operating under him. And of course, he is directing everything. And so Paul is confirming it here now as we get it in writing, Philippians 1:6. That he began this thing and he's going to continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? That is the day you either die or the day he returns, whichever comes first. Because the next moment after you wake up is going to be in the kingdom of God. So you get the idea. So we have to settle this in our minds that this is the work of God. Consequently, we have to do things God's way. He is the only one who has power to bring whatever plans we have to pass. The fallen spirits of this world won't let us do as we would like. That's why he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's a fallen spirit. That's a different story, but I'm just pointing out that they wouldn't let you. I know a lot of folks, they're trying very hard and they think they can get it done. No, they don't have the capacity. That's why Satan is going to have to be locked up when Jesus comes back. Because he would run havoc just like he's doing now with mankind. So to begin with then, this is the work of God. All right, we conclude that. Now let's take it a step further. Now in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, what are Proverbs again? They are wise sayings. Proverbs are wise sayings. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Just want to make reference to one verse there. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So if you're going to do something in Kenya or in Tanzania, Uganda, wherever, you need to make sure it is God's vision. We'll see, drill down a little more, you see how you embrace that vision. More can be done this side of the kingdom. It's not happening because a lot of people don't understand how it works. And so what I'm trying to convey to you then is that we need to first recognize that it is God's, and since it is his, then we need to go to the master and find out what he wants us to do, and then we do it the way he says we should do it. So, if there is a vision, then it must be birthed by God, otherwise it's going to fail. We need to establish that fact. We need his vision. His vision. That's all that matters. His viewpoint. Is vision. I keep saying that because I want us to make sure, you know, the enemy, he sounds so much like Jesus, except he always have some trick. And if you're not careful, you can fall for that. The fact that you have a good idea doesn't mean it's a God idea. Some of it can come from the enemy. Years ago, we used to use the expression, a door is open. Well, you need to make sure that was opened by God because it could be a trap door. And so the point here is that you want to make sure that you are hearing from the Lord as you go forth. All right. Now, third thing I want to bring to our mind, ladies and gentlemen, is found in the book of Proverbs again. And it's in verse 27. Proverbs chapter, actually chapter 27 and verse 23. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flock. Now, folks, by the way, these are all elementary things. But I'm putting them together because with all the different things going on around us, it is easy for us to get distracted here and there. And everything needs to be in its proper place. Otherwise, you're going to be spinning your wheels. You won't go forward at the pace you could. You may make some progress, but you want to do things God's way, because that's best. So Proverbs 27:3 says, be diligent to know the state of your flock and look well to your herd. Well, what are your flocks? Whatever God has put under your control. It may be your congregation. It may be the congregation that you're a part of if you're not the pastor. It may be your family. God has put that under your control for you to help lead and assist. Or even your business, or you would say your shamba. You need to take care of it, look about it, and make sure you get the maximum yield so that things can be beneficial for you. Because look what it says. For riches are not forever. You know, sometimes we get a break, we get an opportunity, and we think it's going to last. No, it will last as long as you take care of it. But what happens if you turn around and become slothful? No, it's going to go away, of course. You got to be careful of things that you have. You got to pay close attention to it. You have shamba, or you have some crops or whatever it is, animals you're taking care of. You look well to them to make sure that they are getting the best. All right? And he says, does the crown endure to every generation? How many times you read of people who they inherit something, it was a lot, and in a short while they lose it. As a matter of fact, you can look this up. The Bass Brothers, they were well known here in the United States. They inherited billions. They went bankrupt in less than 4 years. How in the world could that happen? You lost so many billions. Oh, they tried to take over the rest of the silver worldwide. And in the process, they end up losing what they had. That's what happened. My point, though, is that they were not taking proper care of what they had. And instead of taking care of that, they went out trying to get everything else from everybody, and they end up losing. It was not a good bargain for them. It wasn't wise. So I am saying to you, pay close attention. Let's pick up one more verse from it. It says, the hay appears and the tender grass showed itself, and the herb of the mountains are gathered. And you see the point here that you're reaping the production that goes along with that. You can read the rest of the chapter in your own time. But I just wanted to point out that we need to be aware of the state of the whatever it is that we have under our control, our flock. Now, let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen. Because we will discover that a lot of the problems that we have is in the world are the result of poor teaching. Poor teaching. Now, many are not grasping that now, but on the return of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is established, there is a lamentation in the book of Jeremiah, the 50th chapter, and verse 6. It says, my people had been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. The people end up confused. They didn't produce like they could have. Why? Their leaders, in this case, the shepherds. You want to make sure you don't fall into that category. And we're going to look down a little further to make sure you don't fall into that category. Because God is the one making this assessment. And he says, their shepherds have caused them to go astray. You don't want to be in that category. You've heard enough about leadership and the structure that you should have in place and so on. And where you may be at fault, then we can correct that and go on. But the idea is, we're talking about continuous improvement, and we are going in the proper direction. So, I am saying this is one of the pitfalls you want to make sure you avoid. You don't want to be a poor teacher, or it could be just that you don't have any teaching on that, whatever the subject matter may be. And we'll see as we drill down a little more. Now, so what shall we do then? What is it that you and I need to do? As leaders in the Church of God, What are we supposed to do? All right, well, we're going to discuss more about this, you know, along this line. Not today, but at a later date, we'll give you, you know, more information so you can tune in and you can get it online, download it, and so on. But we need to have some workshops designed for our refresher. The very fact that you're having this leadership meeting now, it's one of those, but we need more. You can never learn too much about the Bible. So in the meanwhile, then, we must recognize the need for continuous improvement. We must make up our mind. I did mine some years ago, and I'm going to continue as long as God gives me the ability. I am always going to drill down further and try to investigate and go a little further and to learn more. And of course, when Jesus comes back, then he's going to start to teach us even more. But you get the idea. The need for continuous improvement. So that is why, ladies and gentlemen, that we read about what happens when that is not present, when folks are lacking in knowledge. In the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter, there is a statement. In fact, we're going to look at some more verses, but let's start with verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forsaken the law of your God. I will also forget your children." Now notice that now. The parents are messing up. And who is suffering? Not only the parents, but the children also. And so my point here is that even God's people can come to the point where they are lacking. We don't want that. And this is part of the reason why we're promoting this, because we want to make sure you're taught properly. Now let's go back to verse 1. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Well, what is happening there? They're not being taught. It is not happening. All you have to do is just look around. You can go down downtown Kilgoris or Nairobi or Mombasa, and you'll see result of folks not being taught the way of God. In fact, you can choose any other city on earth, and you see plenty of it. It says in verse 2, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touch blood." So this is what they're doing. Why? Because they haven't learned that there is a better way. Verse 3, "Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwell therein shall languish with the beast of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away." And you see some of that actually taking place now, where folks talk about the fishermen saying, "Well, we used to be able to catch so many fish at a certain time. Well, it takes much longer now." Why? They're being taken away. That's just a part of what is coming on, because folks are turning away from God completely. So the little blessing that they used to get, even that is drying up. But you get the idea. The end result is the people are going to be destroyed. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. So we need to understand then that what knowledge of God is important. Very, very important as a part of what we provide. Now, in the book of Malachi, the second chapter, we get additional information there where it says in verse 6, let's pick up verse 6 and then go to verse 7. I want to focus on 7, but let's start in verse 6. He says, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law of his the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the law of God, of the Lord of hosts." And so here the point is this: you then, being the leader, you're supposed to have the word of God in you, ready to share. Remember one verse says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Well, you should be ready to share. The bishop should be apt, ready to teach. And so you should have this information already in you. And he says your lips should the word of God or information about God from your lips. In other words, you're supposed to be teaching or speaking these things on a regular basis, not occasionally, not on one day a week, but regularly. In Romans, the second chapter, Paul is asking a question about the leaders, and let's see, chapter 2 and verse 21. And of course, again, this is one we have to ask ourselves, and I ask myself this almost every day. He says, you who say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor ideas, dost thou commit a sacrilege? And so he says in verse 21, therefore, you therefore which teach another, teach not yourself. You that preach a man should not steal, do you steal? So the point here is this. You should be teaching yourself. Before you even talk about teaching anybody else, you make sure you're on the up and up in that direction, that you are in agreement with the word of God. And therefore, you are now ready to be able to share with them whatever God has placed on your heart. So the point here again is that you have to be informed, all right? Let's take it a step further. In Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, it says, let's see, chapter 36, yes, here we go. It says, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, let's see, yes, 36, yeah. They have made us desolate and swallowed you up every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of the talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, you, let's see, did I get this right? 34, hang on a second, did I go to the right chapter? 6, okay. Oh yeah, chapter 34, my notes have it incorrect. Chapter 34, verse 4. He's talking about the prophets or the teachers, and it says in verse 4, let's pick up verse 3. You eat the fat, and you clothe yourself with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Now, he's giving you this in the form of a shepherd who is supposed to do certain things. What did he say, verse 4? The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Now, there are some ministries I've heard about where that is how they behave. They just want to take the people's money and they run. They just want to get from the folks, and they're not providing for them. Notice he said, you have not healed the flock. There are a lot of people, and then it's not just physical healing. Sometimes they need spiritual healing. They need to be, you know, stirred to action, or inspired to go to higher heights and to do more. There's a lot of different ways. And as I pointed out, we're going to cover some more of these in the workshops as we go along. Now, I want to go one more along this line in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. This is very, very serious. And so we need to look at this and make sure then we have it together as we should. Yes. In verse 20, it says, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart, in the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. So there is coming a time where things are really going to get out of hand, and this will be more evident. But it is going on to some extent now, and we want to make sure we avoid this pitfall. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. You know, there are a lot of people preaching because somebody say, well, you think you might be a good preacher. They did not hear from God. They're not trying to hear from him. And as a result, they're not going to do a good job. And God is making note of it. And he says, I haven't sent them. I didn't talk to them. Yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, notice the key now, that's the answer. If they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. So the key here is this. Every leader must go into the presence of God and do not come back. That's my point. Don't come back until you hear from him. What's the point? My point is this. You want to go there and stay until you hear from him. That's it. All right. And so I know it may sound a little harsh, but my point is this. You want to stay until you hear from him. Then when you hear from him, then you can go and speak with authority and with power. How do you hear from him again? You're going to have to spend time in his presence, fasting and praying, you know, the usual, the study, you know, and listen to proper teaching. Those are the four main things. And when you do those basics, you know, along with fasting, I may have mentioned that. But the point is that you do these things, and I guarantee you, over time, you're going to see the power of God coming up in you to such an extent that you can't help but prophesy. And you're going to be sure sharing the word of God, because it won't be your words, because he's going to permeate your mind with his thinking from you being in his presence. That's what happened to Moses. He spent so much time in the presence of the Lord, even his face was shining when he came back. All right? And so you get the idea. So God is pointing out that we then need to what? Come into his presence and hear from him. He says, if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words. Very, very critical. You stay in the counsel of God, stay in his presence, get from him, then you can go and talk and share with God. All right? And so those are just some of the basic things now that we've covered. And I just want to go a little more to point a little strategy. Because for Moyano Yamungo qua Africa, for that to take place, for the vision of Africa to take place, we need to hear from God. You and I need to hear from God. You're on the ground, so we are covering you with prayer. We're praying for you. We assist you in a lot of different ways we can. But the point is that you have these foundational responsibility that you must take care of. As leaders, God has entrusted you with that. Well, in order to deal with the people, as we were pointing out, because you're going to find, and we saw some, but we can deal with the folks on different levels. I'm just going to mention two things quickly. In Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 33, because folks, there are some folks who need some special assistance. And so we have to make sure then we share with them that they must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then the other things will be added to him. We had a message, I forget the title now, but it has the gist of it was, you know, handling the blessings. In fact, let me see if I can put it up real quick. But my point is that we need to recognize that when we do things God's way, let's see if we get it here, covenant, and he's going to bless us immensely. And a lot of people are not getting, I'm talking about folks in the church now, they're not getting the information, consequently not getting the full gist of what God has for them. It is not that God is not providing, it is that they weren't getting the complete teaching. And it titled the message was A Special Blessing. I think that's about 2 weeks ago. A Special Blessing. And the foundation of it was in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, verses 22 and 23. But if you haven't listened to that yet, please go ahead and do so, because it is critical. Because while we want to provide assistance for the folks, we need to make sure we do things God's way so that they can in turn tap into the Lord and receive for themselves. Then we can go on and assist somebody else. So that is important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we do things God's way. The other point I wanted to make along this line in terms of special assistance, and that is with Matthew, the 25th chapter. Brother Stephen alluded to that earlier in his presentation on Monday, where here it is, God has come back. In fact, I think he mentioned it in the earlier presentation. But my point is that Jesus comes back and he's gathering the sheep. He's separating the sheep from the goats. And he's going to have the sheep on his right hand, and they're going to be the one inherit. And he was pointing out, you know, that they provided for those who were lacking, those who were naked, they provide clothes for them. Those who were hungry, they fed them. Those in prison, they were visited, and so on. And you get the gist of it from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 45. You can read that in your own time. But my point is that he's saying they did these things for the least of them. That's the least that's among us. No, he's not talking about the people on the outside. He's talking about folks in the church, folks related to the church. And the more you do to the least of them, then you have done it unto me. That's what he's pointing out. That was the gist of it. And so I'm saying then we can do more along that line, and we'll talk more about that in the very near future. But I just want to help just give you an overview in the time provided so that we understand that there is, that God has a vision. He hasn't forgotten Africa. It's just that a lot of the leaders don't know him, so they can't hear from him and therefore implement what he wants from them. But you in the church, no, you have a hotline to him, or you should. And of course, you're going to prepare yourself. If you don't have it yet, you make sure you get in touch with him. So you do it on a regular basis so that you can preach from your spirit. Yes, you're going to have your spirit renewed daily by you constantly getting in touch with the boss, because he's the boss. Every servant must hear the voice of their master. And you get in touch with him and do as he directs. And he is more than willing to lead you and to direct you. Remember what we read earlier? He was the one who started it. He began this work in us. But he wouldn't start it if he never intended to finish it. And the Bible tells us clearly he intends to finish it. So he began it, and he's going to lead us in that direction. So my point again is that you get in touch with him, and the moment you start to make sure you do those things, you're going to start to see the result. Others are going to see the result, and God will bless you immensely. Much more can be said on the subject, but I thought I'd just go ahead and stop right here and just, open the floor. Brother Stephen, if you'd, you're dear. If you'd like to make a comment, please. Thank you. Brother Dennis, would you like to make a comment, please? I think you just muted yourself. There you go.